I wanted to once again stress that being a great teacher is not separate from being a great human being. To speak about anything with confidence and authenticity, it has to be something that we are living. So if you are the type of teacher that loves to get your students fired up, but you're feeling a little bit lackluster, it's really important that you find ways that are fueling you and firing you up. We cannot be generators of inspiration, motivation, health, and well-being without making sure that we're taking time to do anything that's required in order to actually embody those things. I think self-care is very important for teachers. Regular body work, massage therapy, acupuncture, which I love. Taking care of the vehicle that we need, the instrument that is our tool as we teach. To be a great teacher, we also have to have something to say. So whatever your passion is right now in your yoga practice, maybe you love anatomy. So maybe your passion is trying to find different ways of working with the structure of the body. If you're fired up about that, if you're excited about that, and you are diving into that inquiry, then you're going to excite the people that you're talking to just by bringing your own passion to the table. A great teacher is not afraid to be passionate. A great teacher knows that they're not always right. It's not an arrogant position. But they do know how to stir your soul. And the only way that you as a great teacher can do that for your students is to constantly be nourished. I wrote a blog post a while back about yin and yang energy in the yoga world. And I think this actually really applies to us as instructors. For those of you that aren't familiar with these concepts, yin energy is that more nourishing, fundamental, grounding energy of the universe. In the body, it makes up the bones, it makes up the blood. Whereas yang is the more evolutionary or developmental energetic in the universe. Yang is the energy that keeps you awake till 3 o'clock in the morning working on a project that you are seemingly obsessed with. And there's a yin and yang to our self-care. Yin self-care may be that nice hot bath at the end of the day, some restorative yoga, very grounding and nourishing food. And yang self-care is that weekend workshop with a master teacher. It's working with a coach or a mentor. Yang is the energy that inspired you to take this course. So it's about self-improvement, development, new ideas. If we have too much of one, the other one gets depleted and burns out. So we need to find a better equilibrium between these two types of energies in the body, in the mind, in the spirit. I can't tell you what that's going to be, what that's going to look like for you. I can advise all of you to make sure you're eating nutritiously and getting at least 7 or 8 hours of sleep every night. I can advise you to spend time with people who are positive and supportive and who are interesting and vibrant. But the way in which you do those things, the way in which you conduct your own self-study, your own development, really has to come from within. No one else can make you a great teacher. It's your own drive, your own passion, your own interest. So I hope that that has given you some things to think about tonight. And I would say your homework this week, maybe a little bit longer than just a week, but perhaps you think about taking on one of these 30-day challenges or really investigating your own self-care regime. In my personal opinion, as I've said already, having a regular meditation practice is one of the best ways to develop as a teacher. Taking time each day to wipe your slate clean, to have no problem to solve, does give you some perspective. And at the end of the meditation, even if it was a difficult meditation for you, even if you might have trouble being still and relaxed and letting go, you feel good. You feel like you've accomplished something. We can talk about this more in a moment, but I am definitely not someone who settles very easily into meditation. It's taken a lot of time and training. But sometimes I actually think that the more difficult your meditation seems to you, the more potential merit you have to gain from it. And what I mean by that is, if you sit down and you commit to sitting for half an hour every day, which is a good place to start for most beginners, and you sit there for that half an hour, even though your body may be a little uncomfortable, there may be a lot of things going on in your mind, you may feel very tense and like you can't let go, but you commit to sitting there and you do it anyway. You sit there for the full 30 minutes, nothing's shaking you. That actually says a lot about you as a human being. In those situations, you win. It helps us develop confidence in ourselves because we know that we are not the types of people that are just going to bolt at the first sign of a little discomfort. To tie all of this together, being great often comes from facing your struggles. It comes from facing challenge after challenge after challenge. There's no hero story that I can think of where the hero sits on the couch all day over the weekend and then gets up and goes to work on Monday morning. It's not a very exciting story. The exciting story is the person that has to overcome so much. You can think of any spiritual hero, any cultural hero. Someone that's had to overcome some kind of suffering, some kind of hardship. Maybe they did something that would seem impossible right up until the moment they were doing it. That is greatness. That is how it's often cultivated. Those who are great didn't necessarily set out on the path to be a game changer. They just decided to do whatever was necessary to get there. And even if your intention as a yoga teacher isn't to change the entire world, but in fact it's to shape a part of your own community. The more passion and power you bring to that position, the more of an impact you will inevitably have.